Tonight, I'm going to have Deidre Jade and William Arndt on. And if you don't know who they are, who William is, he's the one who created What the Bleep Do We Know? And that's one of the most quantum leap videos I have ever seen in my life. Before I bring them on, real quick, I wanted to touch base on what's going on in South Dakota. And I want to give you some numbers to call so you can just give your opinion on what's happening, because the protectors there need all the help they can. But something really cool happened today for them. And, you know, the Indians and a lot of people from all walks of life are up in the Dakotas protesting the pipeline going on up there. And today, it may have been yesterday, I'm in Hawaii, so I'm way behind everybody in time. They had over 1,000 wild buffalo come over there. And, you know, when I saw that, it brought tears to my eyes. And, you know, that's the old ancient spirits actually responding, because those people there, they didn't go out and round them up and bring them in. That's nature saying, hey, we're standing with you. So I'm going to give you some numbers that you really should call, and let's start with the White House. And, you know, these numbers should be on speed dial by now. Their number is 202-456-1111, 202-456-6213, and then there's the switchboard where you can get a hold of your other representatives at 202-456-1414. All right, the Morton County Sheriff, 701-667-3330. North Dakota, Jack Dalrymple, who's actually has an investment in the pipeline, go figure. 701-328-2200. And the Army Corps of Engineers, 202-761-5900. And Oasis Petroleum, oh yeah, they'll love to hear from you, 281-404-9500. Now I'm going to give you one more number, and this is the Prime Minister of Canada, and I've got his email, and you know that's Trudeau, and his email is pm@pm.gc.ca. They're making it really, really simple. And why am I giving you that number? Because Ontario has taken a Native American named Adam Capay and put him in solitary confinement for, gosh, almost 4 or 5 years, and he has not even gone to trial. So, you know, he's in solitary confinement. This is actually torture. And his human rights have been stolen from him. You need to write. His name is Adam Capay, Adam C-A-P-A-Y. And, you know, write to the Trudeau and say what you feel about this Indigenous prisoner being held for 4 years, housed alone in a basement at the end of a long corridor, in a cell sheathed in plastic, in plexiglass, and the lights are on 24 hours a day. That, friends, is torture. So please, you know, give Prime Minister Canada Trudeau a heads up. I'm sure he would love to hear from you also about this. And you may save this man's life, for God's sake. And their email, again, is really simple. It's P as in Pat, M as in Mary, at pm.gc.ca. Well, welcome, guys. Thank you so much for having a little patience with me tonight. And welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. We are, both Will and I are so delighted to be here. And I just want to say, from all the nature spirits, the angelic realm, the beings of light, all of creation, thank you for what you're doing in raising consciousness so that we stand up for the rights of all beings. So thank you. I was really touched at what you're doing here and having people call. And I'm going to call, and I'm going to tell everyone who follows me to also make these phone calls. I have people up in North Dakota there, being in a peaceful, vigilant, people that I work with. I even sent a teepee up to them. So thank you for your support.
Oh, my goodness, it brings tears to my eyes.
Oh.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I've got to say, when your publicist sent me, you know, your information and what you do, as soon as I saw What to Believe, Do We Know, it was like, oh, my God, absolutely, I have to get you both on. And if people, you have not seen this video, it is, and this is my opinion, I've seen it many times, it's one of the most profound quantum leap videos I've ever seen. And done in entertainment, and I wouldn't exactly call this really whimsical, okay? But it's done where you really understand it, and you really, it awakens you, and you quantum leap. And if I'm blowing you guys up too much, well, too bad, because I'm one of your fans.
That's okay. That's okay. We'll live to work with it. We won't get blown up too much.
Would you want to explain what the bleep is?
Ah, you know, years ago when we were releasing the movie, that they would always say, okay, what is the movie? And I'd say, well, they say, is it a documentary? I'd say, well, it's a part of documentary. And then they say, well, is it a dramatic film? Yeah, it's that too. And what else? I said, well, it's also a third animation. And okay, what's it about? It's about spirituality and science and quantum physics and brain neurology and all this good stuff. And then people would kind of look at me and blink, and they, you stuck all that in one movie? I'd say, I tried. So, you know, I don't know. It's hard to explain. That's the riff I just went on. That's as good as I could ever do to describe the movie. You just sort of have to watch it.
I have to say, when it come out, so, and I have a copy of it still, okay? I've got the video. And when you get it, I really recommend getting this, people. If you're ready for another quantum leap in your thoughts, you really need to look at this video. And, you know, buy it. It's not that expensive. And when you get it, don't be worried if you cannot watch it right away. You know, it may sit there for 3-5 days, even a week, then all of a sudden your higher self goes, okay, it's time, and you're going to be able to sit down and go, wow, this is profound stuff.
And you'll also get to understand some quantum physics. One thing that people liked about it, I did physics in college, so I know it fairly well, and so I was able to describe certain things in a very graphic way, like the thing about superposition, that is something big deal in quantum physics, that when you're not looking, an electron is like everywhere in the room, but as soon as you look, it becomes one place definitely, but you can't predict where that'll be. It's random. So in order to illustrate, there's a whole scene on the basketball court with multiple basketballs and stuff like that. And after the movie, I got a lot of emails, people saying, oh, my God, after watching that movie, first off, I never thought I could understand science. I get the whole thing. Number two, I think that's what I'm going to go to college and do. So that's sort of an added bonus to the whole experience.
Oh, you awakened a lot of people. I mean, and you're right, it is hard to explain. And all it is like, just watch it. It'll be incredible. And then you do, and it's like, oh, my God. So what was the inspiration for creating this book? And, you know, your book is called The Not-So-Little Book of Surprises, and I have to say, I was surprised when I got the book. It's big.
That's why it's called The Not-So-Little Book.
So I got that.
It's not so little.
But it was a surprise to get it. I mean, and when I received it, I went, oh, my God. So, but it's a book about surprises, so it's nice to get the book and be surprised from the beginning.
Yeah, good. Deirdre, do you want to explain that?
Sure. I'd be more than happy to. Thank you so much. Well, Will came up with the title, The Not-So-Little Book of Surprises, And Will, I want to just hopefully interpret this right, but because he felt that the words in there, the wisdom, the information I have received over many, many years of being in communication with the nature beings, the angels, archangels, with God, I was born this way. I just have always communicated with everybody. I've written it down. And
by the way, I'm going to interrupt. When Deirdre Ray says everybody, you know, she once had to go get orchids. So she goes to the orchid thing, and like an hour and a half later, I call her up and say, honey, where are you? She goes, well, I got into this orchid thing, and we live in Santa Barbara. There's big orchid things, you know, acres of orchids. And I got in there, and they were all talking to me, and they said, take me home, take me home. No, take me home. I want to go home. Take me home. And it took me an hour and a half to get through there, and I think it just got so confusing. So when she says everyone, she means everyone.
That is actually true. And I bought so many orchids. I filled up the trunk, and when I left, I was, like, heartbroken because I had to make a choice as to who would come home. But so yes, I talk to everyone, and they talk to me. So when Will pulled together my poetry of my experience of awakening and enlightenment, my experience of oneness, and my experience of being able to live in different worlds simultaneously, which I do, which has taken me a long time to learn how to do that well. He said to me, these quotes, these pieces of wisdom, these teachings are a surprise because I've never read this anywhere. I've never read this. So this is a book of surprises, and I was very honored when he came up with that name. I said, how perfect, because transformation, awakening is a surprise. No, you know, we meditate, we'll do our practice, we'll be mindful, we'll, whatever many, you know, we live in a glorious world, we can really tailor-make our spiritual transformative practice. But when it comes, when you have that aha moment where your perception of reality, just like in What the Bleep, your perception does a shift, it is a surprise. You never can ever expect what it's like when you make that shift. And when it does, it is always a surprise. Always. So that's how the book came together. We paired my work with these phenomenal photography of Andre Balog, an award-winning photographer of nature, and also his images. He puts together sacred geometry, different images of energy. His photography is based on light and energy, so it really comes through. So when you read when you go on the journey of the Not So Little Book of Surprises, what we wanted was for this to be an experience, that you weren't just reading, you were filled with a visual too, and so you were in an experience of a spiritual journey. The book is an hour and a half read, just like a movie, of course, because Will edited it together. And many people read it cover to cover, and many people just will read one page and another. And either way works. But that's how it came to be, and now it's here.
Well, did Andre create the images for the book, or did you pick things, you know, that he already had created?
Both. I'll let you answer on this. The pictures we created were in the honey jars, because the main poem of the honey jars goes through the book, and the honey jars is a poem given to me by the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah came to me and started to speak, and I just simply wrote down what he said. Like, just wrote it down. And it's the story of how he said that he was visited by the honeybees. And, you know, in ancient time, the honeybees were very sacred. The honeybees were the keepers of wisdom. You can look back in hieroglyphics all the way back to Egypt and Samaria, where they would have honeybees or a symbol of a honey, and it meant the mystery school, or the wisdom of mystery, the mystery school. And, you know, our honeybees are in trouble right now. They're having a hard time right now. And they came to me, and Isaiah came to me, and he just told this whole poetic, metaphorical story of his return to our world. And I don't want to tell the end of the poem. I don't want to give away the book. But it's a very powerful, prophetic poem in six parts. And in between the poem are these teachings and are these different ways of perceiving reality. So when we went to do this, I had asked Andre to, I had a direct vision of what I wanted the honey jar pictures to look like. And he did it. It was incredible. But for the rest of the book, now I'm going to let it, you turn it over to Will, because it's a really, really magical story about how this book, we didn't really write. So this book was put together by higher forces. We just showed up. So, Will, sweetie, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay. So, I got the idea to do this, have these quotes of Deirdre's with some pictures. Then I came up with a title, and then I started pulling quotes from all the transcripts of her things. And we said, we need the images. And she said, well, let's check in with Andre. And we thought we would, at first, use a couple of his pictures, all these photographs. So we got on Andre's website, and he probably has 3,000 pictures. Andre's an artist, so he creates amazing art and doesn't know what to do with it. He's also a concert violinist, so he's, you know, doubly crazy. And so he had 3,000 pictures, and so we start going through and start finding, and some of them were absolutely spooky in that it was the perfect picture for a quote that he had taken 3 years earlier. So there was that, and then there was other pictures where, you know, I would look at that and say, well, okay, but you have to move this over here and extend the rays over so it goes under. So we would tweak a lot of them, but probably 70% of the book were just pictures he had laying around. So it was rather spooky almost that he had the ones that he did that fit so well. So that was really how it happened. And the entire book, from when I first started thinking about it till it being done into the printer, took 3 months. The whole thing happened in 3 months.
It is amazing, and I wanted to pull out page 72 and 73. I wish you could see this. Now, I have the biggest crystal in Hawaii. It's over 1,000 pounds. And I like
to call
my...
What kind of crystal is it?
It's an Elestial Earthkeeper. It's actually the biggest crystal in Hawaii right now. And then I have another one that's 650 pounds, and that's an Elestial. I'm an energy addict.
We are too, so there's we're all here. We actually have the largest rose quartz flame to ever come out of Brazil, and we have that in our home. Our crystals are working together.
I think so, too. So you've got this picture of this beautiful energy going around, and I'm going to read what the quote is, if I may.
Please.
The extraordinary pull of the darkness is always upon us. It takes great resistance not to be pulled into the force of darkness. But even if you have been pulled into that world, however it looks for you, one moment of light, one breath of truth can sustain you. That is how powerful the light is. Nothing is more powerful than the experience of light. Be aware of those moments of light, and like a string of pearls, the moments of light will see you through. You know, that's so appropriate for what we're going through right now.
Right. And this, I wrote this probably 4 years ago, And again, that's where Will, with his brilliance, he pulled out these writing, these information I received, and he was like, this is now. And I was like, you're absolutely right, this is now. I learned from my experience as an energy worker, working as a healer, and living my life between the worlds of light and this reality, that, and you probably can feel this too, Kathy, that darkness, or the ego mind, because darkness isn't necessarily bad, it's just a void. But what I say is that the dark, the empty energy, the void, which is where creation happens, is an invisible light that the ego mind has hijacked. It has filled the darkness with its agenda. And part of our purpose is to free the invisible light, the void, the light before light, from the ego, so that the true creative power of God can manifest, because before there was light, there was the void. So, but we, right, so the darkness here is really talking about the ego construct and what the ego does to us, and it is an actual energy field. I see it, you see it, many people are seeing it more. You actually can feel it with your body and see it when it's starting to pull you. And so we all, because it's so powerful and palatable here, we all have that experience. And what I found is that then we start to feel guilty, we start to feel shame, we start to feel I'm a bad person, I had a slip, I got angry at my kids, or I did something wrong, or maybe I'm not supposed to drink and I had alcohol. You know, we all have these moments. And what I want to say to people is that, have compassion with yourself, because that's just the way it is here. That's just the way it is. And it takes enormous energy to not get pulled. But even when we're pulled, there's a light there. There's a light of God there. And we, when you look for it and you see it and you hold on to it like a little ship, in my own experience and what I've seen with thousands of people I've worked through, you can get through anything. You can transform anything. And I do not say that lightly or glibly, because I have worked with some of the most difficult situations, and I've experienced some myself. So I really wanted this to be hope, to say to everyone reading or listening today that no matter how small the spark is, if it's a flower in your garden that gives you a moment, if it's just the touch of a hand of a stranger, if it's looking in the eyes of someone and having a connection, if it's the way the light comes at the sunset, that's all God. And that is more powerful than any darkness that pulls us off. But we forget to attach ourselves to it. We forget to seize it and say, I'm going to let this float me and give me strength. See what I'm saying? So what I want to say is seize those moments, because they will give you the power. They will give you the power to overcome any darkness.
Beautifully put. And I really want to get your take, you guys' takes, on, you know, surprise, what do you feel it does to us, physiology, psychologically, and spiritually change us?
Well, I did a lot of research for Bleep about the brain physiology and how it changes. And one of the things that a surprise does is it completely increases the neuroplasticity in the brain. Now, the neuroplasticity, there's a chemical that does that. And the neuroplasticity is, you know, brain plastic, neuroplasticity. It makes it suddenly much more able to connect new pathways that weren't there. It's much more plastic. It's much more malleable. So after a, and so when you have a surprise, everything lights up, and that's a deep chemical thing. I mean, it's from the, you know, from the days of, you know, looking up and seeing a lion staring at you. That was a surprise, and so you have to move very quickly. So the surprise is there's all this physiology, and it actually changes you chemically. So because the plasticity, Now, there's a moment during the surprise where you can change. And speaking personally now, you know, I have my habits, I have my ways I am, I have the neural pathways in the brain that always go the same way. So when you have the surprise and you have that neuroplasticity, it's a way that you can rewire. You can come in and be different after the surprise than before. And like Deirdre was just saying, when you're aware of that, you can use that to shift. Just keep that awareness, and so when you come off the surprise, you're different. And
Would you consider that also equatable to the adrenaline rush?
Adrenaline is always happens from a surprise. Like I said, you look up and you see the bear staring at you and grinning. Then yeah, adrenaline. So adrenaline is part of it, but there's also not all surprises are adrenaline. There may be the surprise. Like one surprise that I love is sometimes I'll be reading a spiritual book, and someone will put something some way in which suddenly I see the world different. It's like all the tumblers click, and suddenly I see it different. That's a surprise when it shifts like that, but it's not an adrenaline surprise. It's a much higher vibration of surprise where suddenly you see the world from a different point of view. That happened to me in college. I was studying physics, and I was not doing well. I was getting B's because I could, like, fake the thing. I just didn't understand it. And one night, sitting in my college room looking at a book, suddenly I could look at the world like a physicist did. And from then on, I didn't have to study. But there was this shift of suddenly seeing differently. And for me, that is a great high. When you see that shift and suddenly things make sense, yahoo.
Now, I love your book, and let's talk about God. And remember, we resonate, you know, we're the same frequency. So, you know, you have in there, you know, does God have a good laugh? And most people don't really look at that as God laughing. And I say that a lot, you know, we do something and God just chuckles and laughs tremendously. Why did you put that in there?
Well, there is a certain theory that basically the good Lord created humans just for comic relief. That's the only reason we're here, is just grist for the mill. We just, you know, it gets boring up in heaven. So this is like, and they can't, talk about surprises, they can't believe some of the stuff we come up with. I can't believe some of the stuff we come up with. So, but most people don't accept that theory. So Deirdre will now actually give you a real answer.
Okay. Thank you. So there is a spiritual tenet of, you know, the cosmic joke. And when I think of God laughing, it's not laughing like we laugh as a human from the ego. It's a deep, wise chuckle of knowingness. And you all probably, everyone, you know, we've had that moment where you see the irony of something. You see the paradox, the cosmic joke. I know, let's just say there's something that pushes your buttons all the time, and you're working really hard to not have it push your buttons in. It's still pushing your buttons. And then one day you see the cosmic joke, the humor in the fact that your buttons even got pushed. And that's the day you're free. That's the day that you're non-attached. And there is nothing like freedom. So that's what I think of when I speak about God laughing. It's not laughing at. It's a deeper, it's a laughing with the irony of the paradoxes of the third dimension.
Well, that's a good line, honey. The irony of the paradoxes of the third dimension, book 2.
You're welcome. All right, so you've got in the book, God actually wrote a map and a code so we can really get into God's joy, happiness, and bliss, which is always really cool to know. You want to give up the code?
Yes. Well, the code is in the book.
Oh, honey, you got to do better than that.
Well, I haven't finished talking. Thank you.
Okay.
And we only have probably 30 more minutes. So the code is in the book. But what I want to say about this code or the map is that every one of us has an internal map of our soul, a path, a home, a path to our experience of oneness with God, our union with God. Everyone, it's already in you. It was placed in there before you were born. And it's just a matter of finding that road and then allowing yourself to go, what I say is to ride the river, to be on the river of the Great Mother. The map for me is really Mother River. We need to stay floating. We need to stay in the boat, but we must navigate. We have to use our mind, our intellect, our heart, our intuition, everything. Sometimes the river is placid. Sometimes the river has rapids. But all of that, that great river, is where our internal self, where there is no time, and the external experience in the third dimension, when we know we're in the river, those two worlds work in tandem together, in harmony together, and that's when we get into the magic land. That's when we get into the miracle consciousness. So the map is in you, and my service really was in this book to create a map. We are going to be having a course, because I feel that we, those who want to, need to go to understand the map. There's so much more information I have to share. But as my son said to me, now this book is only, 132 pages. My son, the original book of all my writing is 700 pages. My son said to me, Mom, you can't publish that book because nobody could hold it in their hands. It's too big. So, but I'm going to do a course to where to really go into the map so you can discover your map, because we all have one. And even just putting your attention on it and saying, okay, soul, God, where is my map? God's going to show you where that map is, because it's already there. It's already there. It just has to be discovered.
I call that riding the wave of the divine.
Yes, that's exactly right.
With all your inspirations, you know, who are your spiritual mentors?
Well, my first spiritual mentor was my mother, and she was a really special lady. When I was a little girl, we were in the South, you know, and we lived out in the country. And I remember asking my mom about God. You know, what is God? And who's this? You know, I hear people talking about God. Now, I already felt one with everything, and I talked to the trees and the little animals, you know, the way children do. And my mother said to me, well, I'm not going to tell you who God is. You have to meet God yourself. And I said, well, how am I going to do that? And she said, you're going to go outside, and you're just going to go sit in the woods, and you just sit there until you meet God. So I went, okay. And I would go down to the woods at the end of our road, this big giant woods, and wander around in the woods in the summertime and after school. And then one day I had this experience of being one with everything and feeling like I was inside of God, that God was everything and that I was a part of God. I didn't ever experience God as being a person outside of myself. I felt that God was all of creation. And I remember about 7 in the summertime running home and telling my mom, okay, can I come back in now to the air conditioning? Because I met God. Because it was hot down there in Durham, North Carolina. So that's my mother. I'd have to say she's my greatest spiritual teacher.
How old were you?
When I had the experience of finally meeting God, I was 7.
Oh my gosh.
Durham about a year, and I really remember the days on because we had one air conditioner and it was hot, and she wouldn't let us just stay in the room with the air conditioner, and so she was like, well, when you meet God, you can come stay in the room with the air conditioner. So I wasn't going to lie to her, but
I want to be in the air conditioner room. God, where are you?
That's right, and that was my reward, was that air conditioner. I was like, great. So now I get to go stay in the room with Mama in the air, with the air conditioning. You know, later I kind of thought, you know, I think maybe she just wanted peace and quiet, and she was trying to get us out of the house. But it worked. Very wise that way.
Oh, that's so funny. I'm sorry, that's hilarious. Who are your mentors, Will?
Well, when I was about 30, I met Dr. Frederick Lenz, a.k.a. Rama, who was a spiritual teacher, and I signed up as a student, and I was his student for about 15 years. And he was my age, an American, but he had these awakening experiences, and he also was quite a siddha master. He could do a lot of just magic. I mean, he could just do things. But one of the things he did was he looked at all the students and said, well, you know, your students, you know, you're all granolaed out. I mean, you're very spacey, so you need some grounding, you need to develop your mind, so you have to go to computer school. So he had everyone go to computer school. Lucky I already knew computers. And eventually it got to the point where our spiritual task was to create a software product and sell the company for millions, which eventually I did, which is where I got all the money to make What the Bleep. So it was a very eclectic teaching, but it was he really taught us a lot about energy. He called it the occult, meaning the unseen energies of the world, and how, as a sensitive person, you can work with that. How if you're going into a room, before you step in the room, who are you? And are you going to think about how you're going to be there? Let's say it's going to be contentious. Okay, how are you going to present yourself to that energetically so that you don't get, you know, taken out? Because if you meditate and you get more sensitive, and you feel everything. And if you just feel everything and you don't know what to do with that, it can be problematic. So he was my first teacher, and then I left, and because I always thought, I remember reading in China, where Zen really started, it was sort of standard procedure after a while that the teacher, if you weren't smart enough to leave on your own, the teacher would kick you out. And I always liked that story. So then I ended up in Washington at the Ramtha School of Enlightenment, and Ramtha was the teacher, and Ramtha was the being being channeled in What the Bleep. So, and a lot of the ideas that we were learning at the school are in that movie. So he was really my second teacher, my second mentor, and I learned a whole lot there. And like I said, a lot of that's in the Bleep movie.
I've gone to a few of Ramtha's seminars way back when. I'm part of that, been there, done that crowd too. How did you choose the people to be in What the Bleep?
Well, the people we interviewed were just people that I had read books of, or people that we were studying at the school. That's how we got all those people. Now, the big catch was Marlee Matlin, who played the dramatic part in the movie, and she's an Academy Award-winning actress. And what happened was, when I wrote the script, because of all the talking heads, I didn't want the dramatic part to have a lot of talking in it, so it was fairly visual. And Marlee, who's deaf, her agent was looking through scripts to try to find one that would work for Marlee, and the way it was written, he said, "This is great," so he calls us up and says, "Hey, Marlee Matlin would like to talk to you about being in the movie." And my first reaction is, "No way," because I'd written the script a certain way and I couldn't see that person doing it. But it started becoming apparent that the universe had decided Marlee was the gal, and my job was just to shut up and do what the universe was saying. Which, when I finally got that through my thick head, then we hired her, and it turned out that that was the key piece of the movie, because she's such a good actress, and she could convey so much without talking. It was the perfect balance to the talking heads and people talking about quantum physics and brain neurology and all the other sort of stuff. So the answer is, you know, some of it was by thinking and analyzing books, and some of it was the universe just saying, "Listen, bucko, here's your gal, hire her."
How much influence did Rompha have on you?
Well, all of Rompha's influence was just because I was at the school. He, although there was the infamous time when I was interviewing Rompha for the movie, you know, we had the whole crew there and lights and the whole thing. And my interview with Rompha lasted about 25 seconds. Rompha's interview with me lasted 4 hours. And he grilled me. He went all through all this stuff. And at one point he said, "You know what, you want me to sit here and tell you what to do about your movie?" He goes, "I'm not going to do that. I'll make you a better you, and you'll make the movie." And pretty much after that interview, he never said one more word about the movie to me. The only thing he said was one point when I was wondering what to do about Marlee, I said, "Well, this thing that happened," I kind of explained to him, "what do you think about that?" And he just looked at me and stared at me for a minute. and then looked away and started doing something else. I'm like, "Okay, I get it." So he did exactly what he said. He worked on me as a student, the teacher does with the student, never mentioned the movie at all. Didn't he just, "I'll make a better you and then you'll do it"? Good thinking, Rompha.
I
do all the work.
That. Yeah, and just, you know, look at you and it's like, hello. And then the light bulb goes on and go, ah.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, I kind of knew that already. Yeah, the ironies of life. What did you say, dear? The absurdity of the paradoxes of the ironies of the third dimension?
Well, actually, I said it a little more concise.
You did. I was hamming it up.
Irony of the paradoxes of the third dimension.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, don't ask me to say that real quick.
So in many ways, you know, Will has been saying to me when he wanted to put the book together that he hasn't been inspired since What the Bleep. Many people approached him to do Bleep 2, including me. I said he should do Bleep. He said, I'm not inspired. And it was so exciting when he did put together surprises and out of my work that he said, I'm really inspired to do this. And we both kind of said, well, this really is Bleep 2. This is really, it's a book. It's made like a movie, but it's really taking, we talk about science. My parents were scientists. My whole family were scientists. And the only reason I didn't become a scientist is I rebelled because I felt the scientific thought at that time was very narrow-minded in my optic and arrogant. and I fought with my parents bitterly, and so I refused to be a scientist too. Now I'm like, maybe I should have been a scientist, but I grew up in a scientific household as the mystic, and what surprises is really taking a bleep, which is the scientific, the quantum theory about how the universe works, and that becomes a conversation for the mystery, because quantum theory is very mysterious, and so the obvious next step is the mystery, where God lives and where our soul lives, and that's really what the little book of surprises is
all. I could see you doing a class and actually taking, you know, like each one and doing a meditation and discussion on it.
That's exactly what I'm going to do, and we're probably going to start filming that in a couple of weeks, and our goal is to have that ready by the first week of January.
So, that will be fun to watch, I have to say.
Thank you.
If it's anything like what's a bleep in the book, it has to be great, sorry. And that won't be a surprise, okay?
No. No, it should be pretty.
Oops, sorry. What's your website?
My website, my personal website is DeirdreHaid.com, and that's DeirdreHaid.com. My name is people say, oh, who gave you your spiritual name? Where do you get that name? I have to say my father and my mother. It's Deirdre is a Celtic name. And it is the Celtic word for woman. In the Celtic language, it means woman. That was the where the name originates from. And then Haid, H-A-D-E, is Scotch-Irish, and it means the sun. So my name means woman of the sun.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Well, thank you. I have to thank my parents for that. And then our book, we have a website for our book, and the book is available now, and it is bookofsurprises.com.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say we have a wonderful flipbook, a free giveaway on the website. It's 14 pages of the book, and it's a flipbook. It's an enhanced e-book. It's really fun. We'll put it together. And it's 14 pages out of the book, and it has videos in the book throughout the book. And when you go to the website, bookofsurprises.com, it says watch here, and you press that, and you get to have that experience. It's really pretty cool.
Oh, gosh, that sounds – I'm going to do that after the show.
Oh, great.
So what would you say is the biggest surprise about this book?
For me, the biggest surprise is the book got made and finished and printed. It got done so fast. That, for me, is the biggest surprise. It just happened, like, overnight, and it's just so beautiful. Will, what's your biggest surprise?
Well, I'm thinking about that. I mean, the big surprise to me is, I put the thing together, the quotes, the pictures and whatnot, and I still go through and read sections, and I go, holy Moses, how did I ever put that together like that? And it's, I must have been in some quasi-altered state or something, putting it together and associating pictures and with it. So the surprise for me, it's a personal surprise. Often when I go through it, and it's like, wow, I didn't know we did that. That's really something. So I guess that's my big surprise.
Sorry. I love listening to you guys talk. That's what can I say? Mm-hmm. And when I went through the book, I could really, see a lot of things from What the Bleep, which really made it, I would smile and go, oh, yeah, okay, this makes sense. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a very nice Christmas book.
Well, that's
right.
What we think. And we designed it to be very affordable. Now, it's a it's a 9x11 book. It's big, and we got an incredible printer to do an amazing print job and use really high quality inks and paper, and it's an amazing book, and it's only $19.95. So we were thinking, oh my God! I mean, you spend $19.95 for a paperback. This is a hardcover quality, museum quality type book. So we're thinking, oh man, so we turn it over to Perseus, who's the sales, their distributor, there's our sales force, and they come back and they say, we think it's too expensive. I'm like, what do you mean? Have you been to a bookstore? What do you mean too expensive? They said, no, we can drop the price a little bit. So we said, okay, you guys are the sales folks. So we dropped it to $18.95, but we're all really happy about it because, you know, I would rather make less money and sell a lot more copies because I really, for me, a lot of the inspiration for this book is that the words that are in there, the concepts, are just real jewels. And Deirdre has a way of phrasing things in surprising ways, in unique ways. And so, you know, when we came to $18.95 for this book, we're like, okay, let's just let them fly off the shelf. So it was kind of funny that we thought we were at the bargain basement and that the salespeople told us to drop it. But that's what we want. We want people who, that's three Starbucks coffees, and so people can afford it. So that's where we are.
Well, you two will work well together.
Oh, thank you. I think so. We've just been married now for... it'll be 2.5 years, and it's really wonderful. It's just getting better and better, and it's really a joy working with Will in a creative, collaborative process. It's really a lot of sparks flying around our home.
Would you call him a conscious man?
I would say he is a very conscious man. Yes, absolutely.
Hey, ladies, they are out there. Okay, really, they are.
They are. I want to encourage women to know they're out there. When we got married, I put on my post, my Facebook. I just want everyone to know that happily ever after really does exist.
So, yay!
Yay! It can happen.
So where can they find the book?
The book now, it will be in all the major bookstores. It's on Amazon. If you go to Amazon.com, put in Book of Surprises, you can pre-order it. Also, there's a link from our website, bookofsurprises.com.
But to answer your question, November 15th is the official day that it's suddenly on the tables at bookstores, and Amazon starts shipping, and we get to see what kind of ripples our pebble in the pond created.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much. And if you ever make it to Hawaii, the Big Island, you must stop and communicate with my Big Earth Keepers.
Ooh.
Love that.
That would be great.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We love it. It's such a magical, special place. Are you originally from there, or did you move there?
I'm from Michigan, and I've been here 11 years. I didn't know when I moved here that I would actually have the largest crystal in Hawaii.
Wow.
So I do a lot of energy work, a lot of earth work, of course, you know, not self-work, light circles. And I also put a picture of her out online and allow people to work with her.
Oh, beautiful. Well, I'm going to definitely look at her because Chris, I put a post, your laugh. I just put a post up this week, and my post was this, crystals are people too. You don't have to believe me. Just ask one yourself.
So appropriate. Yeah, and she actually is growing. Yeah, I let everybody touch her. I let everybody hug her. And in 11 years since I've been in Hawaii, you know, if you ever make it out here, I can show you how points have appeared. Yeah, it's really,
Oh, completely. Well, we would love that. I really feel that there are millions and millions and millions of light workers, all of us around the world, globally, and connecting in such beautiful ways, like your radio show, so we can connect. The book is a way for us to connect. And it really is time for us to, as I say in the book in the beginning, it is time for us to gather. It is time for us to heal. It is time for us to come together and find one another. Because I know that those of us who see the light and know the light, we're holding a torch for those who are lost in the darkness. And when we come together, our torch will be so bright that the darkness will simply melt away.
Speaking of melting darkness, I have to, because we're almost at the end of the show, on this Monday, October 31st, we're doing another quantum leap. And all we're asking people to do is chant that day, may divine enlightenment descend on everyone now. May divine enlightenment awaken within everyone now. That's all we want you to do is chant that day, and let's go for the quantum leap.
I love it. Well, I will absolutely post that, and let's get that out there. Let's do that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, the more that participate, the bigger, you know. And I'm in for, I believe we can quantum leap far into the golden age, and all this stuff will end. I think people are doing things backwards, you know. If they would focus on enlightenment, once that happens, everybody's connected to source, then everything else is easier, right? Because people know better.
And we have the ability to bring the future into the now because there is no time. So the golden age really does exist. We just simply need to release her. And the more we connect, the more the future is in the now. So I love that. I'm in. Monday.
But I also think you and I are living it. You know, that usually the golden age is here. And if you're happy, content, you're living it.
Right. Yep.
Happy note, we're going to have to say goodbye so my producer doesn't get angry because I think we've gone over. But, you know, this is great. It's like, now we're getting into the meat of stuff, right? Not that your book wasn't really awesome, because it is, but you know what I mean. Well, thank you again for coming on to the show and participating on Monday and sharing that information. And with that, everybody, we're going to bid you good night.
Okay, good night, everyone.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you so much. Blessings, blessings.
You are invited to the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show every Friday night on United Public Radio Network from 9 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time, 12 to 1 a.m. Eastern Time, with your spiritual warrior goddess, Kathy Bilski. Kathy will share all the old truths the Illuminati tries to keep secret. Kathy also gives you the opportunity to join in with planetary healing light work that will help us manifest World Enlightenment 2016. So let's get high and fly into new possibilities. So join Kathy every Friday night on UPRN, the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show, a very powerful happening.
You are listening to United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans.
To UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Hi, come check out Christina George's new show, Aliens, UFOs, and Beyond, Thursday night, 8 p.m.
See you Thursday, Jeff.
You're listening to you.
UFO Undercover with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Joe Montaldo, and you're listening to United Public Radio.
This is Michael Angley of Michael Angley Live, Discovery Paranormal, and the Daily Update with Michael Angley. For the best news and commentary, tune in to Michael Angley Live every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. For the best paranormal talk in town, tune in to Discovery Paranormal every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. And check out UPRN, United Public Radio Network, every day for the Daily Update with Michael Angley. All on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.7 New Orleans.
Come check out Christina George's new show, Paranormal Connections, only on United Public Radio, Monday, 8 to 10 p.m. See you Monday. Hello, you're listening to United Public Radio. I'm Joe Montaldo, host of News on the Flip Side. Check us out every Saturday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Central Time.
The UPRN family of shows would like to take a moment to thank our loyal listeners for tuning in to UPRNTalkRadio.com along with 107.7 FM New Orleans, broadcasting on multiple platforms like Live 365, Ustream.